来风塔之音服务员与聆听，亲爱的奉献者们，大家早上好。今天是2020年4月8日，星期三。我们再次荣幸地邀请到来到十万块部，为我们继续讲解《永恒的其他面经》《是其他面朝的才能讲》。Hare Krishna。
Hare Krishna。Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda
Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda
Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda
Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda
Jaya
Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda
Jaya
Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Reading from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, Chapter 21, The Opulence and Sweetness of Lord Sri Krishna.
今天我们继续来阅读《永恒的其他面经》，是《其他面经》的名字，《Madhya Lila》中篇逍遥的第21章，主师 Krishna 的富裕和甜美。
Speaking from Sri Mayapur Dham.
那我们现在呢是在 Sri Mayapur Dham 给大家直播。
And we're going to discuss today the sweetness of Krishna.
今天我们要探讨的话题是主师 Krishna, 圣主 Krishna 的甜美。
Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has been conducting the discussion with Sanatana Goswami.
Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 和 Sanatana Goswami 在对话。
To bring Sanatana Goswami to relish remembering Krishna.
他引导着 Sanatana Goswami 让他越来越感受到品味到 Krishna 的甜美。
And by discussing the personality of Krishna, Lord Chaitanya becomes very absorbed.
当 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 在谈到主 Krishna 的个性的时候，他越来越沉浸于其中。
Of course, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is none different than Krishna.
当然 ，Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 和主 Krishna 是没有区别的。
So it's very easy for him to be absorbed.
所以对于他来说，沉浸于其中是非常容易的。
And any given opportunity.Lord Chaitanya will dive completely into remembering Krishna.
只要有机会 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 就会完全的投入其中去记忆主 Krishna.
Which is very different for us.
对于我们来说的话就是另外一种完全不同的情况。
Because we practice Krishna consciousness, but we may not be that attracted to Krishna.
我们虽然在修习 Krishna 知觉，但是呢，我们的心并没有被那么深深的吸引。
We may be attracted to a different aspect of devotional service.
也许呢，我们会被奉爱服务的不同的方面所吸引。
And they are also connected to Krishna.
那么这些奉爱服务和 Krishna 也是有紧密的联系的。
But we are not accustomed to meditate.And always see within our minds the form of Krishna and remember his pastimes.
但是对于我们来说，我们还不习惯于经常的去冥想 Krishna， 在我们的心意中时时刻刻的去看到 Krishna 的形体以及他的逍遥时光。
And what to speak of taking part in Krishna's pastimes?
那更不用说去参与到 Krishna 的逍遥时光之中了。
This is very, very far for us.
这对于我们来说是非常遥远的。
And yet, we understand that by hearing those pastimes and by reading those descriptions, we develop a taste for it.
但是我们知道，通过聆听和通过去阅读有关这些逍遥时光和 Krishna 的这些描述，我们就会。不断地增进我们的品味。
And this description may not appeal to everyone.
这些描述可能不是对每一个人都有吸引力的。
Because we are very much affected by the false ego.
因为呢，我们还深受假我对我们的影响。
False ego means we are self-centered.
假我就是意味着自我中心。
And therefore, we would rather hear about ourselves than to hear about others.
所以比之于去聆听有关别人的话题，我们更沉醉在有关自己的话题里。
One devotee, gave a very simple, definition of Krishna consciousness.
有一个奉献者，他对于 Krishna 知觉有一个非常简要的定义。
Where he says that Krishna consciousness means that you move out of the center and you allow Krishna to be the center.
那他是这么说的，他说 Krishna 知觉就意味着你从你的这个自我中心中走出来，让 Krishna 进入到这个中心里。
And Srila Prabhupada in the beginning of the Srimad Bhagavatam, he discusses, self-centeredness and expanded centeredness.
那么在圣简博伽瓦坛的最前面，释迦牟尼也谈到了，一种是要做自我中心，一种叫做延伸的自我中心。
So self-centeredness means everything is about ourselves.
那自我中心呢，就是意味着一切都是围绕着自我展开的。
Who we think we are.
我们认为我们是什么样的人。
And how our identity expands onto others.
然后我们这样的一种自我认知，这样的一种自我身份感就扩展到其他人。
Our family, our friend, our community.
包括我们的家庭，我们的朋友，以及我们的社团。
But this still expanding from our own false ego.
但是所有的这些啊，就是像家庭、朋友，或者是社区、社团等等，其实也是我们自我的一种扩展，一种延展。
So it begins with the wrong material identification, and it expands from there.
所以说呢，实际上呢，这一切就是说属于一种非常错误的一种物质世俗的认知，然后呢，就从这一个原点开始出发呢，就延展到其他的一切。
The Prabhupada gives the example of the check, the bank check, where you have so many zeros.
那 Prabhupada 呢，他就做了一个比喻，这就好像是你的银行支票一样，这个银行支票上面写了好多的零。
So you may have many zeros, and you think, "Wow, this is a big amount of money."
然后你的支票上填上了好多好多的零，然后你觉得你有一大笔钱。
But unless you put one in front of all the zeros, you have nothing.
但是除非是所有的这个零前面有一个一，否则你就是一无所有。
So in other words, unless we put Krishna in front of everything, then life is meaningless.
换句话说就是说，除非呢，我们能够把 Krishna 放在我们生活的中心，否则的话，我们的生活就是毫无意义的。
Therefore, the most important activity for devotees is to engage in hearing, chanting, and remembering.
所以对奉献者来说，最重要的一件事情就是聆听、唱诵和意念。
We hear about Krishna.
我们去聆听有关 Krishna 的一切。
We glorify Krishna and we remember Krishna.
我们去荣耀 Krishna, 我们去记忆 Krishna.
And that is the ultimate goal of Bhakti Yoga.
这就是 Bhakti Yoga 奉爱瑜伽的终极目标。
Which means complete absorption and complete meditation.
就是说是完全的一种沉醉和冥想。
So someone who is Krishna conscious is someone who will always be absorbed in remembering Krishna.
所以说呢，一个具有 Krishna 知觉的人，就是意味着他总是沉浸在对 Krishna 的意念里。
Not that everything stops because we just sit there motionless and just think about Krishna.
但是这并不是意味着你什么都不做，纹丝不动的就在那儿呆呆的想着 Krishna。
But everything we do
是应当是这样的，你所做的一切。
Everything we eat.
我们吃的。
Our conversations.
我们的对话交流。
How we plan things.
然后我们的计划。
Our relationships.
我们和别人的关系。
Everything should be molded on remembering Krishna.
所有的这一切呢，都应当如此去造就，使得你能够更好的去记忆 Krishna。
For example, right now, so many people are completely absorbed in talking about the virus.
比如说呢，现在有关疫情的这个话题呢，就把所有的人都卷到了里边。
I mean, 24 hours a day talking and thinking and remembering the virus.
那现在大家是这样的，一天24小时，一刻不停的去谈论，去记忆，去想念这个这个病毒。
Now, imagine if instead of the virus, it was Krishna.
那我们想想看，如果不是这个新冠病毒，如果是 Krishna 的话，
We would have so many pure devotees in this planet.
我们现在这个星球上已经有了好多的纯粹奉献者了。
All you have to do is look at the newspaper, and every time you see the word coronavirus, you replace it with the word Krishna.
那你只要是现在看报纸就行了，你看报纸上把所有的这个新冠病毒这个词儿替换成 Krishna。
Wow, this would be like reading the Krishna book.
那你这看报纸看新闻就好比是看 Krishna book, Krishna 快乐的全言这本书一样。
So, we have to understand that, Vedic literature are not ordinary words. They are all empowered with transcendental knowledge and therefore transcendental energy.
我们要知道呢，伟达的文献并不是世俗的这些语言，而是充满着超然的知识的。既然是超然的知识，就意味着充满着超然的能量。
And this is the intention that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has to draw the reader to be absorbed in Krishna consciousness.
所以呢，正是出于这样的一个用意，所以且参演们哈帕布鲁呢，就是为了要把读者们吸引到对 Krishna 的意念里。
And as it will be mentioned a couple of times in this chapter, actually, it may not have been Lord Chaitanya's intention to start discussing Krishna's opulence and Krishna's sweetness.
那么在这一章当中不止一次你会看到似乎不是主切坦雅马哈帕布在有意的去谈主 Krishna 的富裕和甜美。
We remember at the beginning of chapter 20 that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to establish the authority of the Vedas, and from the authority of the Vedas, he wanted to establish the supreme position of Lord Krishna.
那么我们还记得在第二十章的时候呢，齐檀尼马哈帕布在他的讲话当中，他试图去建立伟达经典的权威的这个地位，然后讲着呢，从这个出发就开始讲到主 Krishna 的这个绝对超然的地位。
And from that point on, he became completely absorbed and began to describe so many details and give so many information.
然后呢，又从那一点出发，他就谈到了好多的细节，提供了大量的信息。
And as we discussed last week, Lord Chaitanya described the opulence of Krishna.
那就像上一周我们就讲到了这个 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 谈到主 Krishna 的富裕。
Which means Krishna's energies,
也就是说 Krishna 的能量
and the spiritual sky,
灵性天空
and all the different planets in the spiritual sky,
还有在灵性天空的无数的星球
and Krishna's expansion in the material world,
然后就讲到了 Krishna 扩展到这个物质世界
and how he manifests in so many different incarnations,
他如何也不计其数的这个化身的这个形象显现。
And then he began to describe the holy places where Krishna performed his pastime in this material world.
然后又谈到了 Krishna 上演逍遥时光的在这个星球上的 众多的圣地。
And then he goes deeper and deeper into the topic by going into where Krishna manifests his sweetest pastimes.
然后呢，这个话题就越走越深，然后就越来越谈到了 Krishna 去展示那些甜美的逍遥时光的地方。
So one thing that we have to remember is that whatever takes place in this material world,
那有一点我们就是要记住的，无论是在这个物质世界上发生了什么，
it doesn't matter what it is,
不管是什么，
it is a perverted reflection of what goes on in the spiritual world.
那终归是灵性世界所发生的一切的一个扭曲的倒影。
And we say perverted because it's not pure.
我们说到它是扭曲的，是因为首先它不是纯粹的。
It's materially motivated.
那个是以物质动机为出发点的。
It is self-centered.
是自我中心的。
And especially it's temporary.
那么尤其呢，是因为它都是短暂的。
So, for example, anything which is beautiful in this material world, it'sBeautiful because it exists to perfection in terms of beauty in the spiritual world.
那比如说在这个物质世界上的一些事物，看上去是非常的美丽的。那之所以看上去是那么美丽呢，是因为在灵性世界有一个源头，这个源头是完美的，那种美丽是达到的极致和圆满的。
So in the material world, something which is beautiful, it's only beautiful for some time. It's not going to last.
所以说在这个物质世界上，即便有什么美丽的事物的话，也只不过是昙花一现，不会持续很久。
And in the material world, we have experiences.
在这个物质世界上，我们有所经历。
And experiences naturally foster, you know what it means, foster memories.
那种经验呢，就会滋养到你的记忆。
Let's say you had a good holiday.
比如说你度了一个非常开心的假期。
And you went away with your children and your family.
你是和你的家人带着孩子一起去度假。
And then you come back.
然后等你回来了呢。
And you begin to share this with others.
然后呢，你就去跟别人去分享你度假的快乐经历。
So your mind will go into memory.
这个时候呢，你的这个记忆呢，就开始进入到回忆之中。
And you will be able to remember in every minor details all the wonderful time that you had.
然后你把在度假期间的所有这些开心的这些细节呢，就都一一的想起来了。
But memories fade away.
但是记忆终归会褪色的。
And also oftentimes good times are outweighed with bad times.
很多时候 bad time is always more.
When you have good time, you also have bad times.
Yeah.那当然每一个人他有这个好的这个时光，他也有坏的这个时光。
And you don't really want to remember the bad times.
那么当你去回忆的时候呢，你通常就是想更多的去想这些快乐的这种时候，那些痛苦和这些不快乐的这些记忆呢，往往是让你不堪回首的。
So it's the same with relationships.
那么同样的这种关系，人与人之间的关系也是一样。
If we have a very nice relationship, very rich, very very nourishing relationship, you think about it all the time.
就比如说你跟某一个人之间呢，有一种非常深厚的这种爱的关系，让你的内心呢感到非常的满足，那么你就会经常的去想到他。
You love your children so much.
你非常的爱你的孩子，比如说。
Even if you're not with them during the day, you can remember what they are wearing, what they look like, the words that they're saying, how they laugh.
那比如说你白天孩子不在身边的时候，你会想着他可爱的模样，他穿的这个衣服，他这个开心大笑的那个样子，他说话的那个姿态表情，你都会非常细腻的去记忆。
You think of your parents or you think of your husband.
同样的，你去想你的这个父母和朋友也是一样的。
Or if you have very close friends, you think of all the details which are related to these people.
那就是包括就是跟你关系非常亲密的一些朋友，那你就会经常的去想念那些和他相处的细节或者有关他的这些细节，即使不在身。不能相信也是这样。
And this remembrance, these memories actually fill the heart with so much happiness.
那这些记忆呢，就让你的心中感到充实，感到充满的这种快乐。
However, they don't last.
但是这些都不是长久的。
People get sick.
人总是会生病。
People get old.
会衰老。
People die.
会死亡。
People change their personalities.
然后他们也会，人也会变。
Like you love your child when he's 10 years old, but when he turns 25, he turns into something really weird. And then you don't understand your child anymore, and it drives you crazy.
就比如说10岁的时候，你的孩子是那个样子的，然后长大到了25岁的时候，就成了一个非常不可理喻的人，甚至会把你逼疯。
Like they are.I have seen documentaries in China where mothers, they have such a wonderful, cute little baby, and that baby becomes a monster, glued to computer games 24 hours a day, addicted.
就比如说那个我在中国也看到一些纪录片，里面讲到了一些上网瘾的那些孩子，小的时候，很小的时候是非常的可爱、天真的，但是长着长着呢，到了十几岁的时候就，就是有了这个网瘾，然后一天24小时就站在那个游戏的这个虚空的世界里面，然后成了一个非常怪癖的一个孩子。
So everything which is beautiful in the material world has a perfect reflection in the spiritual world.
所以说呢，在这个物质世界里面的所有的一切，都是在这个灵性世界有一个圆满的、完美的这个源头。
Because the spiritual world is the source of everything.
因为灵性世界是一切的源头。
So now you can imagine.The reason why I'm talking about this is because you can imagine what goes on in the mind of Lord Chaitanya.
我之所以举这些例子是为了帮助你们去理解现在 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 心中的这个他的所思所想。
So when Lord Chaitanya begins to discuss Krishna's holy gown,
比如说 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 他开始去谈主 Krishna 的圣地的时候，
Obviously, the holy dham means pastime, means something is going on with Krishna.
毫无疑问，说到圣地就意味着就是有那里有着 Krishna 的逍遥时光，就是在这个圣地 ，Krishna 的逍遥时光一直在上演着。
And because Krishna is the center of all activities in the holy dham, Lord Chaitanya becomes completely absorbed in Krishna himself as a person.
那就是说呢，因为Krishna 的这个逍遥时光一直在圣地上演着，所以 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 呢，他的这个思绪也一直沉浸在 Krishna 这个人格性里。
You know, sometimes I'm going back to the same point of remembering. Sometimes you share with someone a good memory, and as you are talking to this person, you yourself, you are back into that particular experience.As you are talking,
我再回到这个关于回忆的这个话题里面。有的时候，比如说你跟一个人谈话，然后呢，你就跟他谈到了之前所发生的一些让你感到非常喜悦、欢欣的这些经历。当你在跟对方去谈的时候，你自己就好比是身临其境，你又回到了当时的那个情境里边。
And sometimes as you are describing this wonderful experience, talking to someone else, you will look like you are a bit lost, like your eyes are somewhere else, your mind is somewhere else.
那当你跟一个人去谈到那些美妙的经历的时候，说着说着，你自己好像也是出神了，然后你就是有点这个不知身在何处了。
So, it's the same with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It begins to describe Krishna's sweetness.
那 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 也是一样，他开始去谈 Krishna 的甜美。
Because he is absorbed in remembering very intensely.
因为呢，他的心都陶醉在 Krishna 那里了。
And it's something which is out of his control. He can't help it.
而且这个他是情不自禁，完全没有办法控制。
And he is showing that actually this is what happens to someone who is absorbed in Krishna consciousness. Is it doesn't take very much. One word.One description, and they are gone into remembering Krishna.
所以呢，他其实在这里就展示了一个身处在 Krishna 知觉当中的一个最好的一个例子，就是哪怕只是一句话，或者是一个词，那就会让他的这个心完全的沉浸到其中，使他显得就是不知身在何处了。
Again, on the material platform, sometimes you say one word to one person inadvertently, and then they'll begin to cry.
就好像是你跟一个人在谈话，然后无意间不知道说到了哪一句话，触到了他的某一个点，然后他就泪如泉涌了。
Isn't it? Because you triggered something in their memory.
就是说呢，你触动了他的记忆深处的某一个点。
So there's a very nice example when the one associate of Lord Chaitanya, his name was Mukunda.
就比如说呢，Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 的一个同游叫 Mukunda.
So Mukunda was working for the Muslim ruler.
Mukunda 呢，他就是为这个穆斯林的统治者服务的。
And at some point,One servant brought a peacock fan.
然后呢，有一个仆人他拿来了一把孔雀扇。
And when Mukunda he was sitting next to the Muslim ruler, and when he saw the peacock fan, he fell on the floor unconscious.
当时呢，穆昆达他正在这个穆斯林的身边，这个首领的身边去服务。然后他一看到这个仆人拿来了这个孔雀扇的时候呢，他只是看了这么一眼，他就昏厥在地上。
And the king could not understand why suddenly Mukunda, because Mukunda was a physician, he was a doctor. How come a doctor can fall unconscious?
然后呢，这个穆斯林人呢，他也觉得很奇怪了。这个 Mukunda 他是一个很好的这个医生，怎么自己会这个晕倒在地上呢？
So the servants, they rushed to see what was wrong with Mukunda.
这个仆人也跑上前去看这个 Mukunda 到底是怎么回事。
And they ask him, why are you not feeling well?
然后他们就问他说，你是不舒服吗？
And he could not explain to them why he had fallen unconscious.
那他也没有办法向他们解释为什么他会失去知觉。
But the Muslim ruler, who was a learned scholar, he could understand why Mukunda fell unconscious.
那这个穆斯林的这个长官呢，他也是一个非常有学识的一个渊博的学者，所以他能够明白为什么 Mukunda 会失去知觉。
That just by looking at the peacock feathers, Mukunda remembered Krishna in Vrindavan and lost.consciousness.
因为是穆昆达看到了这把孔雀扇，一看到了这个孔雀羽毛呢，他的心就立刻到了 Vrindavan， 想到了 Krishna， 所以在这种情况下呢，他就晕倒在了地上。
So just so you know, next time you look at the peacock feather, if you fall unconscious, means you're very advanced devotee.
那要是下一回当你看到孔雀羽毛扇的时候。你就不自主地倒在了地上，失去了知觉，那就说明你是一个非常进步的奉献者。
Not that you went to look at the peacocks at the zoo.
但是呢，不是你到这个动物园里面去看笼子里的孔雀的时候。But
peacock feathers remind one of Krishna because Krishna always wears a peacock feather in his hair.
那之所以孔雀羽毛扇会让人想起 Krishna 呢，是因为 Krishna 的这个头上总是戴着孔雀羽毛。So
there are so many different indications that reminds one of Krishna.
所以呢，有很多迹象都可以让人想起这个 Krishna.
Now, we can understand why the worship of Krishna in the temple is so important.
We
see when we take darshan of Krishna in Vrindavan at the Krishna Balaram temple, how beautifully decorated Krishna is.
就比如说在这个Vrindavan的 Krishna Balaram 庙的时候，当我们在神像面前 darshan 的时候，我们就可以看到这个 Krishna, 看到这些神像被装扮得那么的美丽。
And every day Krishna is dressed differently with different colors and different flowers and different decorations.
而且呢，每一天这个神像，这 Krishna的这个打扮都是不一样的。每一天的这个衣服的这个色调是不同的。然后呢，这个花环，还有这些他的戴的这些饰品都是不一样的。
This is why Srila Prabhupada established Radha Krishna temples all over the world.
这就是为什么Srila Prabhupada会在世界各地去建立 Radha Krishna的庙宇。
So the devotees can see Krishna with their eyes.
因为呢，这样的奉献者们，就可以亲眼看到 Krishna的形象。
But not just see Krishna, also serve Krishna.
但是呢，还不仅仅只是看。
So you have two kinds of devotees. You have the devotees who go and see Krishna, and you have the devotees who serve Krishna.
有两类奉献者，一类奉献者主要就是去觐见这个 Krishna，还有一类呢，他们又会服务 Krishna.
Like sometimes devotees they say, "Oh, Krishna looks very beautiful today."
比如说有的奉献者说，今天 Krishna 看上去真的是太美了。
And then someone will say, would you like to clean the temple?
那这个另外一个人就问他说，你愿不愿意打扫一下庙宇呢?
And you say, well, I don't really have much time.
然后你就说，我没有时间。Well,
then you are not seeing Krishna.
那如果你这么说的话，那就说明你没有真正的看到Krishna。
So, seeing Krishna means serving.
所以说呢，见到Krishna，看Krishna，其实意味着
And one of the types of service to Krishna is to hear.
对 Krishna 服务之一就是去聆听。
And to hear about Krishna brings memory.
这个聆听呢，对 Krishna 的这个聆听，就会把你带向对 Krishna 的意念。
So, for example, when we study the Bhagavad Gita, we try to remember the technical details, the philosophy about Krishna consciousness.
比如说当我们看国家梵歌的时候呢，我们就会努力的去回忆其中的那些非常多的这些细节，这些技术性的这些词汇。And
Prabhupada explains that to meditate on the teachings of Bhagavad Gita is none different than meditating on Krishna's Vrindavan pastime.
那就是国家梵歌里有很多的哲学。那Srila Prabhupada他说呢，你去记忆这个国家梵歌里面的这些有关 Krishna 的这些哲学呢，和你去记忆在 Vrindavan 的 Krishna 的逍遥时光是一样的。Because
Krishna is absolute.
因为 Krishna 他是绝对的。Any
aspect of Krishna consciousness is a good opportunity to purify the heart.
Krishna 之学当中的任何一个方面，都是提供了一个很好的我们自我心灵净化的一个方法。That's
why we should not rush to try to dive into relishing Krishna's Vrindavan pastime unless we understand everything else about Krishna.
所以说呢，除非我们能够 理解到 Krishna 的有在这个文达本逍遥时光之外的这一切，也就是说 Krishna 知觉中的方方面面，否则就不要操之过急的这个过于急迫的去谈这个 Krishna 在文达本的逍遥时光。
Krishna's Vrindavan pastimes are very sweet, but they are also very intimate.
Krishna 在文达本的这些逍遥时光是非常的甜美的，但同时呢又是非常的亲近机密的。
So, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is now absorbed in remembering Krishna as he is in Vrindavan.
那么现在呢就是 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 他就陶醉在对主 Krishna 在 Vrindavan 的这个逍遥时光里。
First, he remembers Krishna's ornaments.
首先他想起了 Krishna 身上的饰物。
His ornaments are everything that Krishna wears to be decorated.
那 Krishna 身上的这些首饰呢是来装扮 Krishna 的。
And by remembering how Krishna is decorated, he remembers Krishna's form.
那么他现在呢他先想到了 Krishna 是怎么在这些这个首饰下面去变得更加的美丽的。那么当他想到了 Krishna 的这些装扮的时候呢他自然就想到了 Krishna 的形象、
so,
他的形体。
Krishna has a human form, human-like form.
Krishna 呢他是一个人的形象。
But that form is the culmination of all beautiful forms.
那他的这个形象呢是所有的人的形象的极致。
And it is described in the scriptures how Krishna's limbs are so beautiful and so well shaped.
经典里面呢就是谈到 Krishna 的这个肢体是多么的美丽。
It is said Krishna is known as Tribhanga Lalita. In other words, he bends, he has a three bending form.
Tribhanga Lalita. 那这经典里面有用这个词语啊 ,Tribhanga Lalita 来描述这个 Krishna。意思呢就是说 Krishna 有着一个非常美丽的三度曲线。
So, Krishna's body is shaped in three, which means his chest is going this way, his hip is going this way, and his legs are going this way, like a beautiful shape.
所以说呢这个意思就是说 Krishna 的身体呢它不是直直的，它呈现出一个非常优雅的三度曲线，就是说它的胸脯是冲向这边，它的臀部呢冲向另外一边，然后它的腿呢又朝向这个胸部的这一边，所以就形成了这么一个曲线。
So based on his bodily form, then the clothes that he is wearing make him even more beautiful.
所以因为他的身形呈现出如此优雅迷人的这个三度曲线，所以呢，穿在他身上的这个衣服也变就显得非常的动人了。
So, as Krishna's beauty is manifested, then the way he plays on his flute is also very attractive.
因为 Krishna 他呈现出这样的如此的美丽，所以说呢他当他吹上笛子的时候，这个笛子也让他显得更加的美丽了。
And the way he is dancing, the way he moves his body.
然后呢他翩翩起舞的样子，他的肢体在变动的这个瞬间。
So, his beauty will attract his mother and his father in a particular way.
所以说他的母力他的美丽呢就吸引了他的父亲和母亲。
And his beauty will attract the coward boys in a particular way.
那他吸引他母亲呢是父母呢是以一种特别的一个动人的地方。那他去吸引了牧牛童们又是另外一个方面。
And his beauty will attract the gopis in a particular way.
然后他也以一种特别的方式吸引了那些牧牛姑娘 gopi 们。
And he will attract the cows in a particular way.
他也以这种特别的方式独特的方式吸引了那些 奶牛,
Even the trees will be attracted to Krishna. When they see Krishna walking through the forest, they bow their branches and offer fruits and flowers.
就算是那些森林里的树木们，他们也被Krishna所深深的这个倾倒。 当Krishna进入到这个森林的时候，他们都不由自主的弯下腰来，就是他们的这个枝条就都弯下来，向这个Krishna献上他们的果实。
And the people of Vrindavan, they always talk about how beautiful Krishna is.
Vrindavan的居民们总是不住口的在交口称赞着Krishna的无与伦比的美丽。
Even the ladies who live in Mathura, who never go to Vrindavan, they just by hearing, they don't see Krishna, they don't meet Krishna, but just by hearing how beautiful he is, they develop pure bhakti for him.
就算是Mathura的妇女们也一样，虽然她们从来没有去Vrindavan，从来没有亲眼见到过Krishna，但是仅仅呢，只是去聆听有关Krishna的一切。
And they're discussing among themselves. They say how fortunate the gopis are, how fortunate the cowboys are, how fortunate is Mother Yashoda that they can see Krishna with their own eyes every day.
然后呢，他们就谈论起来，说，这些牧牛姑娘，gopi们有多幸运啊！牧牛郎们，这些牧牛童们有多么幸运，亚瑟达妈妈有多么幸运，他们每天都能够亲眼看到Krishna。
So this is also a sign of spiritual advancement. We may see Krishna, but we may remember how fortunate the devotees are when they have the facility to serve Krishna personally.所以呢，这也就是说，奉献者的这个他的Krishna知觉的这个崇高就可以在这里有所体现。那奉献者呢，可能
不一定能够亲眼的看到Krishna，但是呢，他们可以用各种各样的物品、各种各样的设施来为Krishna做出奉献服务。
I remember when I was a new devotee, and I used to go into the temple in the morning and look at the form of Krishna.
我还记得我在这个做这个新奉献者的时候，那个时候我会每天到这个庙里去看Krishna，去见Krishna的美丽的。
And how Krishna was so beautifully dressed.
然后呢，每天都会看到这个Krishna穿上的新装是那么的美丽动人。And
I used to look at all the details, the flower garland going this way, the necklaces going this way, the ankle bells, the flowers in the hair. I used to be absorbed in all the details.
然后我就会呆呆的站在形象的这种这个面前，然后非常细的。 去观察每一个部分，比如说Krishna的这个花环是往这个方向的，然后他的珠宝，他身上戴的这个项链是往另外一个方向的，他戴的这个首饰是这样，他穿的这个衣服是这样，他头上的鲜花是这样的，就是每一个这个细节都让我非常的陶醉。And
then I used to think, wow, I would really, really love to be on the altar and learn how to dress Krishna.
然后我心里面的这种愿望就越来越强了，我真希望我也能够到神坛上面去亲自的去装扮Krishna。
And I cultivated that desire for a long time until one day I got the opportunity to be trained to dress Krishna.
然后这个愿望就埋在我心里很长时间，直到有一天，我终于有了这样的一个机会得到。 训练得到这个培训，亲自为Krishna去打扮。And
it's an amazing experience.
那这样的一种经历呢，也是不可思议的，美妙极了。Because
you go to the temple early in the morning, and then you begin to choose what jewelries am I going to put on Krishna, what kind of flowers am I going to use, what kind of clothes am I going to put on Krishna, and it's a complete meditation.
因为你每天早上的时候非常非常早就到了这个庙里面了，然后呢，你就开始要给Krishna选今天穿什么样的衣服， 今天用什么样的花，用什么样的饰品，用什么样的首饰。所以呢，当你这么去想的时候，你的心就是完全的沉浸在一种冥想里。
And then you paint Krishna's face, you paint his hands, you paint his legs.
Paint,
you do some.
Really, you can do paint also. 然后你要还有机会去画 Krishna 的脸，他的眼睛，他的嘴唇和他的指甲。
But you can't lose yourself because you only have an hour and 30 minutes. You can't go beyond that time.
但是你也不能说就这个沉浸于其中就神思恍惚了，因为你要给 Krishna 早上做 Pujari 去装扮的时候也是有一个固定的时间的，时间一到就得要完成。
We had one Mataji, Vishesha Mama.
我们有一个 Mataji, 他的名字叫 Vishesha Mama.
And we had to literally grab her and pull her out of the altar. Because it was 7 o'clock and she said, no, one more thing. And Krishna used to look perfect.
然后呢就经常到了7点钟时间已经到了，然后呢这个 Vishesha 妈妈还要往这个 Krishna 身上再带一个东西，再带最后一个东西，然后我们得抓住他，把他从神坛那儿拖下来。所以这个每一天这个 Krishna 都是非常的完美的。
So this was Prabhupada's intention. Prabhupada said Krishna should look gorgeous. Gorgeous. I mean, extremely beautiful all the time.
然后Srila Prabhupada他就用了英文里用了一个 gorgeous, 大意就是说就是我们要这样去装扮这个 Krishna, 装扮这个神像，让他显得就是无与伦比的这个美丽。就是让它美极了，美到极致。
So, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he begins to describe how beautiful Krishna is from every possible angle.
所以呢 ,Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 呢他其实就是用了尽可能多的这个角度来去描述 Krishna 的甜美， Krishna 的美丽。
And that beauty of Krishna is unforgettable. You practically have to lose your sleep over it. You can't believe how beautiful Krishna is.
然后就是 Krishna 的这种美丽呢，简直是让你就是沉浸其中，然后你都忘了这个睡眠，都出神了，就是那样的一种美丽。
So he describes the great fortunes of the gopis of Vrindavan.
然后他就谈到了接下来其他的马哈巴布谈了那个 Vrindavan 的 gopi 们的无比的幸运。
And he is wondering what kind of austerities did the gopis perform to be able to see Krishna's form with their eyes, pure, full of love.
然后这里就有一个问题，就是说牧牛姑娘们到底是做了什么样的苦行，才能够让她们现在如此幸运的能够用她们的眼睛亲眼的去看到 Krishna 的美丽呢？
So the great fortune of the devotees to be able to see and to serve Krishna is something which is desirable.
所以呢就是这样的一种能够亲眼见到 Krishna 并且去亲身服务他的这种心愿，这种幸运呢，是每一个奉献者呢都应当去为之向往的。
So, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explains that you can see beauty in this material world. There are many, many beautiful things in this material world.
那 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 就说呢，你在这个物质世界里也可以看到许多美丽的事物，就是这个物质世界同样也呈现了很多的这个美。
And this beauty is only a minute reflection of what Krishna in the spiritual world looks like.
但是这些美丽呢，仅仅是在灵性世界的 Krishna 美的一个微乎其微的反射。
And Krishna in the spiritual world is very opulent and very, very attractive.
Krishna 在这个灵性世界是非常的富裕，非常的有魅力的。
But the ultimate beauty of Krishna is found in the sweetness of his attractive form that you can only find in Vrindavan.
但是 Krishna 的这种美丽的这个极致这个巅峰只能你在这个 Vrindavan 的 Krishna 的那种甜美的形象里面看到，只体现在 Vrindavan 的这个甜美中。
So we know from the scriptures.
所以我们从经典里面呢，我们就知道
that even those who live in the Vaikuntha planets may hear about that sweetness of Krishna in Vrindavan and they are attracted to it.
就是说，即便是在百昆达无忧心秀的那些奉献者们，当他们也会被 Vrindavan 的 Krishna 的这个美所吸引。
Not only that, but Krishna's own personal form as the Lord of Vaikuntha, he is attracted to his own form in Vrindavan.
而且呢, Krishna 他作为在瓦昆达无忧心秀的这个主，他是在瓦昆达是有他特别的这种美丽的。但是即便是如此，在瓦昆达的这个 Krishna 他自己也被他在Vrindavan的美所深深的吸引。And
the goddess of fortune, Lakshmi Devi herself, she is prepared to undergo any amount of austerities so she can qualify to enter Vrindavan so she can see Krishna's beauty.
那就算是幸运女神 Lakshmi Devi, 她也随时做好了去做很多的这个苦行，严苛苦行的这个准备，只是为了能够有机会到这个 Vrindavan 亲眼去看一看在 Vrindavan 的 Krishna 的美。
Now, there is something which is quite interesting.
这里有一个非常有意思的要点。
Is when it becomes intolerable for the eyes to blink.
就是说呢，这个眼睛要眨一眨都觉得不可忍受。
I mean, this is taken to an extreme.
这个听上去是真是到了极致了，都很极端了，就是你都这个忍受不了眼睛的眨动。
How long does it take for the eyes to blink?
这个眼睛眨一眨要花多少时间呢?
We blink our eyes all the time.
我们随时其实都在眨眼睛。So
much so that we don't even notice it.
这个都已经是司空见惯的，根本就感觉不到自己在眨眼睛。That's
why it's called a blink.
所以呢，我们就会说眨眼一瞬间。
We blink the eyes, it's a fraction of a moment.
它只是一瞬间，一刹那，眼睛就会眨一下，几乎是不知不觉的。
And this is a physical need.
而且这是我们身体的一种生理需要。Why
do the eyes blink?
为什么眼睛要眨一下呢?
So they can wet the eyes.
因为这个眼球呢，这个眼睛眨一下的时候，这个眼皮闭合一下呢，就
Because if we didn't blink the eyes, the air would dry the eyes.
因为眼睛要是不眨动的话呢，这个空气就会让我们的眼睛非常的干燥、干涩、难受。
It's very scientific.
其实是很符合科学原理的。
So we always blink the eyes.
所以我们总是不由自主的眨眼睛。And
if you look at eye blinking in a slow motion, you will see the eyelid coming down and then coming back up again.
那如果说我们把这眨眼的这个过程变成慢动作的话，那你就会看到这个眼皮上眼上下眼皮慢慢的合起来，然后再打开。
But the gopis and all the inhabitants of Vrindavan, they get very upset about this eye blinking business.
但是呢，这个Vrindavan的这些牧牛姑娘gopis们，还有Vrindavan的 这个居民呢，都受不了这个眼睛的眨动了。And
they don't understand why Brahma, who is the creator, why did he create this eye blinking?
他们也很恼火，他们在想，为什么这个创造主这个 Brahma 会创造这个让这个眼睛去眨动呢？
Like sometimes you see something really stunning or something which gives you a surprise, and your eyes they just open up wide. And you don't blink because you don't want to lose the sight.
就好像呢，有的时候呢，一个 非常让你这个震动的一个，或者说非常美丽宏大的宏伟的东西出现在你面前的时候，你的眼睛就会睁得大大的，然后就瞪着眼睛，就是呆呆的看着它。这个时候眼睛都不眨动，都忘记了眨动了。
So the associates of Krishna and the pure devotees of Krishna, when they see Krishna, they don't want to blink their eyes.
所以呢，当Krishna 的这些同友们、这些奉献者们看到 Krishna 的时候，他们只是想这个。只是想看着这个 Krishna， 就不想这个眨眼睛，他们不想失去那一瞬间。
When they meditate on Krishna's beauty, how beautiful his face is.
然后他们都在冥想着这个 Krishna 的面庞是多么的美丽动人。
They're thinking that the creator is not qualified to be a creator.
他们呢，就脑子里就在想这个造物主，这个创造者。都不是这个名副其实的创造者。
He may have created everything nicely.
这个造物主呢，他创造其他的东西可能创造得还算不错。
But to force us to blink the eyes during the time of blinking, we don't see Krishna.
但是他居然强迫着我们去眨眼睛。当我们看到 Krishna 的时候，我们谁都不想眨眼睛。
In other words, for a fraction of a second, he is stopping us from seeing Krishna because we are forced to blink our eyes.
就是在我们眨眼的那一瞬间，他就把 Krishna 那美丽的形象从我们的视线中给夺走了。当我们见到 Krishna 的时候，我们谁都不愿意眨眼，哪怕是一瞬间都不愿意。
So this is taken to the extreme of when you love someone.
所以呢，这个呢，就好像是到了这个极致了，就是当你非常爱一个人的时候。
Because ultimately, beauty is about love.
因为终极而言，美丽呢，其实之所以是如此的美丽，是因为有爱在里边。
Right? What do you say in English? Beauty is in the eyes of the beholder. Right, you have that in Chinese.
对，
Beauty is in
就英语里面有一句话，很像我们中国人说的"情人眼里出西施"，就是说这个，当你这个心中充满这个爱的时候啊，你看到所有的一切都是美丽的。
So because we live in a relative world, whatever is beautiful to you may not be beautiful to me.
但是我们还是生活在一个相对性的这个世界里面。所以说在你看来这个美不胜收的这个事物对我来说可能就不是美丽的了。
But in the spiritual world, everything is absolute. Everyone agrees on Krishna's beauty.
但是呢，在这个灵性世界里，所有的人都是有共识的。Krishna 在所有人的眼里呢，都是极致的美丽。
And the reason why people see beauty in Krishna is because of their pure love for him.
那为什么在他们的眼里 Krishna 一定是非常的美丽的，是因为他们每一个人都怀着对 Krishna 纯粹的爱。
So we have to try to measure how we are progressing in Krishna consciousness to the level that we are attracted to Krishna's beauty.
所以说呢，我们就可以通过我们在多大程度上被 Krishna 的美所吸引来衡量我们在 Krishna 知觉当中进步的程度。
If we are attracted to our own body or we are attracted to our own mind,
如果我们的心呢还总是心心念念的想着自己的身体的美丽和自己的心意思想头脑的这个美丽。
Just like now, again, there are some people who are constantly absorbed about talking about the virus.
就比如说呢，现在呢，大家纷纷的都在就是无时不刻的在谈新冠病毒。
Why is that?
为什么大家就是
Because they have nothing else to do.
因为没别的事情可干了，所以呢，就是成天的谈这个新冠病毒。
So many people are not working.
因为有好多人没有在工作了。
So they are sitting at home all day.
所以呢，一整天就在家里待着。
And We have two options.
那么这个时候有两个选择。
Either we can meditate on the virus and speculate and get mental and waste time, or we can take advantage of so much free time to remember Krishna.
一个呢就是说你可以经常的去想这个或者去了解有关新冠病毒的这些新闻，然后是在那揣摩、猜测、想象。你一方面你可以满脑子都是这个新冠病毒，但是还有另外一个选择，你可以去冥想 Krishna。
So when people spend their time on WeChat talking about India is out of control, people are dying everywhere. No, you are out of control and you are dying spiritually.
就比如说在这个微信上面好多人天天都在跟踪印度的消息，说这个印度已经失控了，每天都有大批的人死亡，已经疫情这个已经成了疫情的中心了，已经爆炸了什么之类的。这其实不是印度失控了，是你失控了。
This is a golden opportunity to be completely absorbed in chanting about Krishna, remembering Krishna, associating in Krishna consciousness.
其实这正是一个非常好的机会，可以让你就是全身心的沉浸在对 Krishna 的意念，对这个Krishna 的荣耀之中，并且在 Krishna 知觉当中去联谊的这样的一个机会。
Instead of following the news, there's nothing new in the material world.
其实不用总是一步一趋的去跟踪着这个新闻。那新闻就是说什么都是新的，但实际上在这个物质世界里面，其实根本没有什么新鲜的事物。
This is a golden opportunity to make so much spiritual progress.
其实在这一段时间，是我们去获得这个 Krishna 知觉的这个进步的一个绝佳的契机。
So let's follow in the footsteps of Lord Chaitanya and be absorbed in Krishna's beauty, not the ugliness of this material world.
所以让我们去追随主 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 的脚的。让我们的身心沉浸在对 Krishna 的美的这种冥想之中，而不是去过度的去关注这个物质世界的丑陋。
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
We have not covered all the different aspects of Krishna's beauty. We will continue next week.
有关 Krishna 的方方面面的美，我们还没有讲完。下个星期我们还会继续来讲。
Okay.
现在我们看到大家已经发上来了一些问题，第一个问题来自于 Hare Krishna Mataji， 感恩 Guru， 感恩翻译。我想问一下 ，Krishna 根据自己的形象创造了人类，又是根据什么创造的840万种生物的呢？Thank you, Guru. Thank you, the translators. My question is, we know that Krishna created the human beings according to his own forms.So, what is the base of his creation of the 8.4 million different living species?
Good question.
这个问题很不错。
Yes, there are 8,400,000 species of life.
的确是有840万种不同种类的生物。
And they are divided into different species.
然后呢，分成不同的种族。
But...Each species has a different form.
那每一个生物的这个类别都是有自己特别的形象。
And live in a specific environment.
然后他们也生活在一个特定的生活的这么一个特定的环境里面。
And have a specific lifespan.
他们这个寿命也各不相同。
And.There are these different species of life, including human beings.
这些生命的这个种族包括人类。
Are spread throughout the universe, not just on this planet.
但是散布在这个宇宙的每一个角落，不仅仅是我们生活的这个地球。
Some in the lower planetary system, some on this Earth planet, some in the heavenly planets.
有的呢是在更加低等的星球上。生存的，有的是在我们这个地球上，然后有的是更高的，也就是天堂。
So these different species are manifested based on personal desires.
这些不同 我们生命的这个种族的这种展示，它的这个形象是来自于不同的这个个体的欲望。
This is nicely explained in the Srimad Bhagavatam.
在圣严伯伽瓦塔里面呢，有非常好的这个解释。
Where it is said that you get specific eyes, specific legs, specific body based on specific desires.
就是基于你的这个个体的这个愿望，所以你就相应的就得到了一副躯体，这个得到了特定的眼睛、特定的这个腿、特定的这个形体，这都是为了来满足你的愿望的。
And it's actually amazing to see the variety of different species.
其实呢，看到这个生命的这个种类的繁多，实际上也是很让人惊叹的。
And the variety of birds, the variety of reptiles, the variety of aquatics.
比如说这个水生生物，还有鸟类啊，还有爬行动物，这些这种形体，这种种族是多么的丰富。
The variety of plants.
还有这个植物的丰富性。
The variety of insects.
还有昆虫。
The variety of four-legged animals, two-legged animals.
这个四腿的生物，两腿双足的这个动物，就是都是这么的丰富，不计其数。
Some are ugly, some are very beautiful.
有的极度的美丽，有的极度的丑陋。
But it's all based on personal desire.
之所以得到一个特定的形象，其实这个源头是在于他的欲望，所以这个形体是根据他的欲望创造出来的。
And it's the same with all the different human form of life.
当然还有包括人类它也是分成很多的这个种族。
Now I was reading yesterday actually that all the different species of life, 8 million species of life will go through a process of evolution.
我昨天呢看到了一篇文章呢，就是说800万种的这个生物都要经历这个进化。
Because the 8 million species of life do not produce karma.
因为有这个800万种的这个生物呢，是不产生业报的。
Only human beings do not go through evolution.
只有是人类这个大的这个种族是不用经过这种自下而上的进化历程的。
And only human beings produce karma.
而且呢，只有人类啊，这40万种，它才会产生这个业报。
So animals and plants cannot be judged for their activities.
所以呢，我们不能通过动物和植物的行为去研判它。
They just evolve from one species to another until they come to the human form.
其实他们就是说这个灵魂经过的是一个自然的一个进化过程，从一个低等的生命的种族的形体过渡到更高的生命种族，然后呢，直到经历了这个进化历程之后，到达人的这个形体。
And there are 400,000 different form of humans.
然后人类呢，也要分成这个40万种。
So as soon as we come into the human form, we perform karma and we get reaction for our activities.
所以呢，我们一旦得到了一个人的这个形体的时候呢，就开始创造了自己的这个业报，然后基于这个业报呢，就得到相应的。
So we can evolve through karma to higher human form, or we can go back into animal species.
我们可以借助自己好的这个业报，也提升到一个更高等的人的形体中，但是呢，也有可能会堕落到动物的种族里。
But the fundamental principle is that every single species of life is a spirit soul.And that spirit soul wants to enjoy separately from Krishna, and therefore that spirit soul will receive a specific body to try to imitate Krishna.
所以，但是这个它有一个基本的一个大的原则，或者说基础，就是说呢，其实是来到这个物质世界上，不管是什么生命种族的这个这个形体的生物，这都是这个灵魂。那这些灵魂呢，都是想要。离开这个 Krishna, 离开主, 然后独立于 Krishna， 然后去享受这个物质世界的。那基于他们的这种物质的这个欲望，也就得到了相应的这个形体，好在这个形体当中去享受。
OK。
夏日去劝马太吉，感恩帕布，感恩翻译。现在冠状病毒的报道满天飞，Krishna 把我们放在目前的处境之中，是为了改变我们什么？谢谢帕布深深的顶拜。Thank you, Prabhu, for your class. Now, we see that the news about the coronavirus is everywhere. It's so overwhelming. And Krishna put us in such a present situation. Can you share with us what's the intention behind it? What does Krishna want us to change? Thank you very much.
This virus has nothing to do with Krishna. Just like this material world has nothing to do with Krishna. This material world is just like a hospital for people who are sick. Or it's like a jail where people are being locked down for misbehavior. So this virus is basically a response from Mother Nature after accumulation of misbehavior.
From the human being.
Yes.
就是因为我们人类呢，就是累积了太多的这个罪恶的活动了，因为我们的行为的不端累积到一定程度的时候，这个大自然母亲的一种自然反应。
So for devotees, it's an opportunity to remember Krishna more.
那对于我们奉献者来说的话呢，现在当前的这个处境就是一个很好的机会，能够让我们更深的去想 Krishna。
But people who are overwhelmed is because they have nothing else to think about.
那还有那些人呢，就被这些满天飞的这个冠状病毒的这个新闻狂轰滥炸，那是因为他们没有别的可干的事儿。
And actually it's more in the mind than in reality.
而且呢，很多时候呢，都是他们头脑里面想象出来的，实际上实际的情况并非如此。
So as devotees, we have to be intelligent and make sure that we stay safe and healthy.
那作为奉献者来说呢，一方面呢，我们要运用自己的智慧，要保护我们自己，保证我们的安全和健康。
Because this human form of life,
因为生而为人是非常的重要的，是一个很好的能够去为 Krishna 做奉献服务的一个重要的机会。
But we should not try to control a situation to try to make life better.
但是我们千万不要以为我们有这个能力去把控这个环境，把控这个外界，以让我们就是活得更加的好。
Like people are talking about what kind of life will be after the virus.
就比如说呢，现在人们在讨论一个问题，说在这个冠状病毒结束之后，大家的生活是怎样
？Before the virus, during the virus, after the virus, it's all the same. People are born, they grow up, they do things, and then they die. It's the same.
就不管是冠状病毒之前、之中还是之后，其实人的这个现在生活状态的本质是一样的。每个人都要经历生老病死。
Okay.
下一个问题来自于 Veda Vati。 Hare Krishna， 顶拜帕布和翻译，您讲到超然的知识具有超然的能量，您能描述一下超然能量吗？谢谢。 You just mentioned the Vedas, right? You mentioned about the Vedic literatures has the transcendental knowledge, which means it contains transcendental energy, spiritual energy. Can you describe what kind of transcendental energy is like? What it is like?
It means that knowledge has a specific power.
就是说知识蕴含着特别的 力量或者说能量。
So spiritual knowledge and material knowledge are different.
所以说呢，这个灵性的知识和物质的知识是不一样的。
Material knowledge is relative. It's always questioned.
因为物质的这个知识是相对性的，是总是带着问号的，是可以去质疑的。
What is right?For someone is wrong for someone else. What is true for someone is false for someone else.
就是说对某一个人来说是正确的，对另外一个人，就是这个错误。
Yes.
对某一个人是好的，对另外一个人就是不好的。所以一切它都不是绝对的，是相对性的。你随时是可以去打问号。
But transcendental knowledge is not from this world.
但是超然的这个知识呢，并不是来自于这个物质世界。
It comes from the spiritual world.
是降临自灵性世界。
So it has spiritual energy.
所以这里边它就蕴含着这个灵性的能量。
So when you come in contact with spiritual energy, you go through transformation.
所以当你接触到这个灵性的能量的时候呢，你就会有变化。
But that transformation takes place only if you are ready and willing.
但是呢，只有你已经做好了准备，并且你有这份心愿的时候，你才会有一种深处的变革。
For example, the very first piece of information we get from spiritual knowledge is in the Bhagavad Gita.
就比如说呢，我们最初接触到的这个灵性的这个知识，往往就是来自于《国家梵歌》。
Where we hear from Krishna himself that you are not this body, you are a spirit soul.
那《国家梵歌》是 Krishna 亲自讲述的，Krishna 呢，他就直接的告诉你。你是灵魂，不是这个躯体。
So that information is not a material information. It's not relative. There's no choice. We are a spirit soul. We're not the body.
这个信息呢，不是物质的，是灵性的。它并不是像物质世界的信息那样充满着相对性，是或不是。那这个你是灵魂，不是这个躯体，它是灵性的一个信息，是绝对的，是颠扑不破的。
So that information can bring about changes in your heart.
而这样的一种具有灵性能量的灵性的知识呢，就可以改变你的内心。
Because it is spoken by Krishna and because it is transcendental knowledge.
因为这是 Krishna 亲自述说的。它是超然的知识。
So Bhagavad Gita is not a book for intellectuals.
所以《国家梵歌》并不是给知识分子准备的。
And as we progress in cultivating transcendental knowledge, we get more and more absorbed in with Krishna's activities.
那我们越是去培养这个超然的这个知识的话，我们的心就越来越深的。陶醉在沉醉在这个 Krishna 的活动之中
and Krishna's devotees
还有就是 Krishna 的奉献者
so this information this cultivation of knowledge actually destroy doubts and destroy material desires within the heart
所以呢这样的一些超然知识的这个培养呢其实就会驱散我们心中的这个物质的疑惑疑虑和欲望。
So this is the different impact of transcendental knowledge.
这就是超然的知识所给予我们带来的冲击力。
Whereas material knowledge will breed material desires endlessly.
而这个物质的知识呢，只是不断的去滋生物质的这个欲望，无穷无尽、无尽的去。产生你的物质的欲望而已。
Okay.
Sumuki, 拉塔基对，转发了这个来自于 Das 的一个问题。听有人说 Krishna 头上戴孔雀羽毛的原因与 Radharani 有关，帕布可以讲讲吗 ？We've heard that the reason why Krishna puts the peacock feather on his head is related to Radharani. Can you explain a little bit on this?
Yes, it is related to Radharani. They have a special pastime with peacocks that takes place between the both of them.
就是说因为这个 Radharani 跟 Krishna 之间有一段 这个逍遥时光就是围绕着这个跟那个孔雀羽毛有关。
It's a whole story. I can tell that story next time.
这个故事还挺长的。所以说呢，我们可以在下一次的时候专门来讲一讲这个跟孔雀羽毛有关的这段逍遥时光。
But yes, you are right. Krishna wearing a peacock feather is based on a specific pastime that took place with Radharani.
你说的是对的，就是说 Krishna 头上喜欢戴这个孔雀羽毛呢，是因为跟 Radharani 有一段特别的跟孔雀羽毛有关的逍遥时光。但是我们可以下周来讲。Smoky Radha Darcy 询问。感恩帕布和玛塔吉甜美的讲课，让我们了解到了聆听意念和冥想主的整个服务过程和细节是怎样的，真是令人沉醉其中。请问没有去过圣地，也没有亲自服务过神像的出席奉献者，只是通过聆听和看神像的美丽照片，也可以练习这种去意念 Krishna 吗？见过之后的意念和冥想和没见过的意念和冥想有区别吗？Thank you, Prabhu, for your wonderful and sweet lecture, so that we can understand how to remember, how to hear, how to remember, and how to meditate the service to Lord Krishna. And also you mentioned a lot of details. It's really very attractive, very appealing. Now my question is for those who have never been to the Holy Dham orwho have never served the deities in such a way, for example, some neophyte devotees, can they also practice this kind of remembrance of Krishna simply by hearing or looking at the beautiful pictures of the deities? Is there any difference between hearing and meditation of Krishna after taking darshan or seeing or servingpersonally or not? Is there any difference?
Okay. In China we don't have that opportunity to have beautiful deities in the temple.
的确是在这个中国我们现在还没有庙宇，没有办法在庙宇里看到那么美的神像。
But we should make space in our home to have a very beautiful altar.
但是呢，我们得在家里面要设置这么一个小空间，在那里呢有一个很美的神坛。
When it comes to meditation, we need something visual. We need things that are practical.
那我说到这个冥想呢，就不能是太抽象的，应当有一个能可见的一个东西。然后呢，非常实际的，你可以去冥想的一个对象。
And this is the advantage of the bhakti yogi as opposed to the gyanis or the other yogis.
其实这就是我们这些 bhakti yogi 奉爱瑜伽士，区别于 gyani 哲学思辨者和这个 yogi 瑜伽士的一个特别的优势。
Because gyanis are trying to find Krishna by cultivating knowledge.
因为 gyani 们这些思辨家，他们是想通过这种去培养这种知识来得到对 Krishna 的觉悟。
And performing great austerities.
还有呢，就是他们经常是从事很严苛的苦行。
And yogis try to find Krishna through their meditation and control of the mind, body, and senses.
而这个瑜伽师呢，他是想要通过自己的瑜伽冥想，通过对自己的身体感官和躯体的这种控制来达到觉悟。
But Rupa Goswami explained the bhakta can use everything, his mind, body, words,intelligence, activities, everything in service of Krishna, and that is as good as seeing Krishna directly.
那 Rupa Goswami 就解释说呢，这个奉爱瑜伽的这个奉献者呢，确实可以把一切都用来为 Krishna 做这个奉献服务。语言，用这个感官。然后用各种各样的活动来为 Krishna 做这个服务，而这个呢和你亲眼面对面的看到 Krishna 是一样的。
So we repeat these things again and again during those morning lectures.
在这个早上的这个早课当中，我们其实一直一而再、再而三的去重复这些要点的。
Keep your house very clean.
我们一直在强调怎么样保持这个室内的洁净。
Keep your body very clean.
怎么样保证你身体的干净
？Keep your mind very clean.
你的心意也应当是非常的洁净。
Keep your kitchen very clean.
厨房要保持清洁。
Keep your cooking very sattvic.
这个烹饪这个厨房里的这个做饭一定要是 sattvic， 就善良心态。
Chant good japa.
要非常好的去念诵这个高质量的 japa。
And set up a place in your home when you have.Very beautiful pictures of the deities and the gurus.
然后呢，就是在你的这个家里面呢，要有这样的一个空间，能够有一个很好的一个神坛，放上你的 guru 的照片。
And regularly decorate with flowers.
然后你要经常的用这个鲜花去装饰你的神坛。
And perform the arti.
做 arti.
And clean after the arti.
然后呢，在这个 arti 之后呢，去清洁。
And then you read about Krishna.
然后呢，接下来你可以去读有关 Krishna 的书。
You will find yourself completely uplifted.
提升或者说升华。
And that was the intention of Bhaktivinoda Thakur to have Krishna consciousness in every home.Through this process.
所以呢 ，Bhaktivinoda Thakur 呢也是通过这样的一种程序，他就是推荐每一个人的这个家里面都要有这样的奉献服务的空间。
Like here in Mayapur, we are not allowed to go to the temple right now. We haven't been to the temple for 1 month.
就是说，比如说现在在 Mayapur 的这个庙里面，那这个庙现在是不对外开放的，谁都不能去。我们差不多都有将近一个月时间不能去这个庙。
But we have our deities at home, and every day we do the worship. Every day we pick up flowers. Every day we clean. Every day we offer food. It's the same.
但是呢，我们在家里面又有神坛，所以每一天呢都要去摘花，然后呢去做这个 puja， 做这个服务崇拜，然后做饭给 Krishna 供奉，其实也是一样的，和去这个神庙里面去觐见神像是一个道理。
So we have to have this kind of lifestyle.
所以说我们要培养出这样的一种生活方式。
First, everything has to be in the mode of goodness.
首先呢，所有的一切都要基于一个善良形态的一个标准。
Then we can bring Krishna.
然后呢，创造好这样的一个环境之后，然后把 Krishna 带入其中。这个 Sumuki Rada Dasi 继续问，就是一个来自于 Rajendra Prabhu 的问题，感谢 Prabhu 和翻译 Krishna 之美吸引任何人， Krishna 如何吸引恶魔呢？ You mentioned that the beauty of Krishna attracts everyone. So how about the demons? How Krishna attract those demons?
We have to understand what is a demon.
先要对这个恶魔要有一个定义，要知道什么叫恶魔。
Demons are those who are not in favor of Krishna being in control.
就是说，因为 Krishna 是万物的主宰者、控制者，但是呢，这个恶魔呢，他却不服。
So they don't actually understand who Krishna is.
所以他们其实并不知道 Krishna 究竟是谁。
But what they know is they don't like Krishna.
他们就知道自己讨厌 Krishna.
So they will try to compete.
所以就想跟 Krishna 竞争。
And because Krishna is always transcendental, they also get benefit from that.
因为 Krishna 永远是超然的，所以即便是恶魔呢，也可以受益。
Whether they deal with Krishna's material energy or whether they deal with Krishna directly.
就算是他们面对的是 Krishna 的这个间接的这个能量，还是说直接的跟 Krishna 打交道，那不管怎么样，他们都会受益。
So when Kamsa used to send his ministers in the form of demons to try to kill Krishna, they were also attracted to Krishna.
那就是。Kamsa 呢，他经常派底下人， 就是这些恶魔们去文达文去杀这个 Krishna。那这些恶魔其实他们也被 Krishna 所吸引。
So all those who are inimical to Krishna, ultimately they are attracted to him.
其实那些对 Krishna 心怀敌意的，终极来说的话，还是被 Krishna 所吸引。
Because Krishna comes in many different forms, not just in his three bending form playing the flute. That's only for the pleasure of his pure devotees.
那 Krishna, 因为 Krishna 他可以相应的以不同的这种形象出现，而不仅仅是那个吹着笛子的美丽优雅的三度曲线的这个 Krishna， 因为那个三度曲线的这个 Krishna 呢，还是为了去吸引这个奉献者，让 奉献者们感到这种喜悦，心满意足的。
In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, "I come as death personified."
那在《国家梵歌》当中 ，Krishna 也说到，他就是死亡。
So Krishna can come in so many different ways.
所以呢 ，Krishna 他也是以不同的形象可以出现的。
Like some people said, this virus is also Krishna.
比如说，有些人他说这个病毒其实也是 Krishna.
Because it makes people think.
因为这个疫情可以让大家去反思。So Krishna also attract the demons in a particular way.
Yes.
所以 Krishna 他也会用特别的这种方式，特别的形象去吸引的恶魔的。Sumukhi Radha， 请问哈布，我们应该在什么阶段开始意念主的服务呢？如果还没有得到很好的内心进化，我们很容易在意念 Krishna 的时候进入到一种幻想，觉得自己是某个 Gopi， 或者觉得自己是个孔雀。如何以正确的心态去进行对主的意念，而不是陷入心意的幻想之中呢？ My question is, in which stage can we start practicing remembrance of Krishna's service? If our heart is not nicely purified, we may tend to be in illusion or in imagination while remembering Krishna. We may think that we are one particular gopi or one particular peacock. So what is the right mood or the attitude to remember about Krishna instead of being immersed in a kind of illusion?
Yes, it is an illusion.
的确是你刚才说的这种情况是一种幻觉，一种幻想。
We are very, very far from being qualified to meditate on what is our service to Krishna in the spiritual world.
我们离我们在灵性世界和对 Krishna 的这种服务的这种原本的境界还差得远着呢。
Right now, we learn to be servants.
现在我们是在学习怎么样做一个好的仆人。
So if we can make our life's goal to become a pure servant, that in itself is the best meditation.
那如果说呢，我们可以把在这一生做一个名副其实的好仆人，就是作为我们的人生的这个目标的话，那这已经是一种最好的冥想了。
That should be our only meditation.
就是我们其实唯一的冥想就应当是这样的，就是想着怎么样做一个最好的仆人。
Because we cannot get Krishna's favor unless we develop humility.
因为除非我们能够培养出一种谦卑的品质，否则是我们不可能去赢得 Krishna 的心。
So we learn to serve the Vaishnavas.
所以我们得学会先去服务 Vaishnava 奉献者。
We learn to serve the spiritual master.
我们要学习怎么样去服务灵性导师。
We serve the scriptures.
服务经典。
We serve the deities.
服务那个神像。
We serve Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.All we do is just do some service.
其实我们唯一要做的就是一点服务。
And we learn to practice service without condition.
而且我们还要去训练自己怎么样的毫无任何条件的、无条件的、不求任何回报的去服务。
That will make us qualified.
这样呢才能够让我们具有资格。
I forgot one kind of service is we have to learn to become servant of the holy name of Krishna.
刚才还落了一个很重要的一个服务，就是我们要学会做圣名的仆人。
To be able to chant the holy name of Krishna without offenses is already a great service.
如果说能够做到没有冒犯的去念诵主 Krishna 的圣名的话，这本身已经是一个非常好的服务。
So when we're told what is our next level of service.
那当我们就是成为一个名副其实的一个仆人之后，到了那个境界的时候呢，自然我们就会被告知我们这个时候接下来应该做什么样的服务。
嗯。
OK? 嗯。Sumuki Radha Dasi 询问，感恩帕布纳新的解答经典中介绍了五种不同的意念方法，您可以就这方面给予一些讲解吗？ In the scriptures, there are an introduction about five different kinds of remembrance. Can you give some explanation on that?
Five kinds of remembrance. Which scriptures is that?
您可以说一下是哪部经典里面提到了这一点吗？The seeming that the Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said the five main service.
No. I know what you're talking about, but I don't have the details right now.
OK. 那这个细节的这个方面的话，现在来到陈让跑步说他还不是非常的这个清楚。So you want to explain
that? Unless you can give more details.
对，你可以。
What do you mean by five types of remembrance and which scriptures?
你说一下你的这个所说的这个出处，然后这个跑步再继续的讲。下一个问题来自于 Nas， 跑步说Krishna 知觉的方方面面都很净化人，阅读和聆听有关 Krishna 的话题能净化人，我有体会，但是做和管理相关的服务让我觉得好烦人，很消耗，怎么办呢？ Prabhu, you mentioned that all the different aspects of Krishna consciousness is very purifying. I understand that reading and hearing about Krishna is very purifying. I have this realization and experience, but what aboutThe service related to management. Management service really makes me quite annoyed and exhausted. What to do?
Service is service. It's not a question of what kind of service. It's a question of the mood and the attitude behind the service.
这个服务呢终归是服务，不在于说这个服务的这个类别是什么，是哪一种服务，关键是服务背后的心态，这种态度动机。
And Prabhupada explains that whether you clean the temple with a broom or you manage an entire temple,To the eyes of Krishna, it's exactly the same service.
那 Prabhupada 他说呢，不管你是在庙宇里面拿着笤帚去清扫这个庙宇，还是说你作为一个管理者去管理整个的这个庙宇，对于 Krishna 来说，在 Krishna 的眼里是一样的。
So now the question is the person who cleans the temple with a broom qualified to clean properly?
那现在我们问的一个问题就是说，在庙里面拿着笤帚去清扫庙宇的人，他是否就有这个资格
？Even though the attitude is correct.
那就算他的这个心态是正确的。
In other words, you may clean the temple, but not very nicely. But you have a good attitude. You're trying your best. You have a good intention to clean, but you're not a very good cleaner.
换句话说就是说。这个人呢他可能清扫庙宇的这个心态和这个愿望呢都是非常纯的，也非常好的这个心态态度，但是呢他却不是很擅长做这个服务，也就是说他很难把这个庙宇打扫得很干净。
Or you are an expert cleaner, but you have a really bad attitude. You're very proud of yourself.
但是或者呢另外一个相反的一个状况，就是说你非常擅长清洁，但是你的这个心态非常的不好。
So management is the same.
所以呢，这个管理的这个服务其实也是一个道理。
First of all, it's a question of attitude.
首先就是说一个心态的问题。
Some people are very good managers, but they have a bad attitude.
有些人呢，他是非常有这个管理的这个才能的，但是呢，心态很糟糕。
And some people are bad managers, but they have a very good attitude.
啊，那有的人呢，他的这个可以说没有什么管理的能力，但是他的心态非常好。
So an expert manager is someone who is a good manager with a very good attitude.
啊，所以一个最合格的、出色的管理就意味着他是兼而有之，他既是非常有管理的这个能力，同时呢又有非常好的这个心态。
So first you have to look at what is the attitude within your heart, what is your mood behind doing this service.
所以说呢，你首先就要内省一下，看看你内心当中的这个心态是怎么样的。你在做这些服务的时候，这个最你的这个初心是什么？
If you do it with resentment or you do it wholeheartedly,
你是这个全身心投入的去做这个服务呢，还是夹杂的这种怨恨、憎恶？
Are you doing it as a burden of love to help the yatra?
还是说是把这个服务当成了一种爱的负担，把它作为服务这个 yatra 的一件事情？
Or you are doing it because there's nobody else?
那么还是因为说没有其他的人可做这个管理呢，所以呢你就去做呢？
So you have to first ask yourself this question.
所以首先你要问你自己，为什么我在做这个管理？
Then you will understand what direction you should take, whether you should continue and improve the management or you should not manage.
所以呢你要首先对这个出发点有这样的一个分析，然后你就知道你接下来的这一步应当往哪去迈，到底是继续的去做这个奉献服务呢，还是干脆就撤下来？
再见。
OK， 下一个问题来自于 Rajendra Prabhu。 理论上 Krishna 是美丽的源头，很美，为什么仍然被 Krishna 的虚幻能量让美丽的所吸引呢？原因何在？如何追溯源头的美丽呢？归谢。Theoretically speaking, of course, we know that Krishna is the source of the beauty. He is the most beautiful one. However, while we are still attracted to the illusory energy, which is Maya, why are we attracted to this Maya? What's the reason behind it? And how to follow or to seek the source of all the beauty? Thank you very much.
Because we don't have a clean heart.
因为我们的内心还不够纯净，所以会被虚幻能量所吸引。
We project onto what we see our own material desires.
实际上呢，我们所眼里所看到的一切都是我们的物质欲望的投射。
So everything that we see, we think that it's for our own personal pleasure.
所以呢，我们的眼光投在哪里呢？就觉得这个东西是让我来享受的，是来满足我自己的欲望的。
And even as a devotee, it's very easy to relate everything to our own personal pleasure.
其实即便是奉献者也很容易落到这样的一个状态里面，看到什么东西呢，就会想到我开不开心，会不会让我开心。
So we can't make much progress with that kind of mentality.
这样的一种心态呢，是没有办法让我们真正的得到进步。
That's why we need to develop humility.
这就是为什么说我们必须首先要培养出一种谦卑的心态。
With humility, we realize that we are not in control.
有了这样的一种谦卑的心态作为前提，我们就知道我们不是控制者。
And we can approach spiritual subject matters, and we can approach the material energy by understanding that it is only a reflection of Krishna's opulence.
那么当我们知道了这个灵性的主题之后，然后我们再去接近这个物质的这个能量，物质的虚幻能量的话，我们就知道其实物质的这些一切都是 Krishna 的灵性能量的一个倒影。
Sometimes devotees they take things for granted.
有的时候奉献者会有一种想当然的心态。
And they become very casual.
然后非常的漫不经心。
But the material world is not a place to be casual.
但是呢，在这个物质世界里呢，人是不能马马虎虎的。
We have to take Krishna consciousness very seriously.
我们必须要以一种非常认真严肃的心态去对待 Krishna 知觉。
Krishna consciousness is not a social club.
Krishna 知觉不是一个社交俱乐部。
Everybody has to make an effort to understand the philosophy and practice it every day.
每一个人都要努力的去了解有关 Krishna 知觉的这个哲学，而且呢，每天的去实践这份哲学，在自己的行动里。
That is achievable by following strictly the instruction of the spiritual master.
如果说一个人能够非常严格的去追寻灵性导师的训谕的话呢，就可以获得成功。
And Prabhupada always said, "You should be afraid of the material energy. Don't take this for granted."
那虽然爸爸呢，他经常就是说呢，不要随便的这个理所当然的去看待这个物质的这个能量。你应当还是要对这个物质的虚幻能量有所忌惮。
This is not our home here. Our home is in the spiritual world with Krishna.
这个物质世界并不是我们真正的家，我们真正的家园是在灵性世界。
So when you are not in your own home, you have to behave yourself.
你当你不在自己的家里的时候，你应当更加的注意自己的行为举止。
And we have to be very introspective.And every day remember that we are only jivas, can be overwhelmed by the material energy anytime.
然后我们要深入的去内省，我们要时刻的警醒，知道自己只是 jiva, 就是普通的这个一个个体的小灵魂，那么随时可能都会被物质的虚幻能量所淹没。OK, 下一个问题来自于 Yamuna Priya Mataji。感恩帕布，感恩翻译的甜美服务。请问 Krishna 绝对拥有所有的完美， Krishna 比 Maya 更为强大，为何作为灵性的我们仍然没有被 Krishna 所完全的吸引，还会受 Maya 的吸引呢？是因为我们太渺小，太愚昧，太堕落了吗？深深的顶拜帕布和翻译，是不是要文处于 Prema 的层面才能完全不受Maya 的任何的吸引呢？ Thank you very much for your wonderful service. My question is, Krishna has the absolute perfection and beauty in every way. Of course, Krishna is much more powerful than the Maya or the illusory energies. However, as the spiritual entities like us, why we are still notcompletely attracted to Krishna, but instead we are attracted to Maya. Is it because that we are too insignificant, too fallen and too ignorant? Thank you very much. Does that mean that only by being situated in the platform of Prema can we completely drop from the attraction of Maya?那个 Yamuna Priya 的这个问题和前面的 Rajendra Prabhu 的这个问题很相似。
But I can add that one reason is that we've been in this material world for a very, very long time.
那我再补充一下，就是说，因为我们在这个物质世界已经待了很久很久了。
We've been in this material world since time immemorial. We can't even remember how long we've been here.
从一个无法追忆的这个时代开始，我们就已经深陷在这个物质世界里面了。
So to be conditioned is actually understated. We are extremely conditioned.
那我们经常说我们是受条件限制或者说备受局限的，其实呢这个还就是言轻了，就是说的还不够重，我可以说我们是极度的被局限，极度的被这个条件所限制。
So it's like someone who has a disease, it takes time to become healthy again. Someone who has a disease.It takes time to be healthy again.
就是说一个生病的人，他是需要一段时间才能够慢慢的 痊愈的。
Yes. So it's a gradual process.
所以这是一个逐步的一个过程。
And we have to be patient.
我们首先得非常的耐心。
But we have to be careful.
但是呢，也要非常的谨慎。
What we are looking for in Krishna consciousness is to get some taste.
我们在 Krishna 知觉当中要寻找的是一种品味。
When we get the taste, then we reduce material attraction.
当你在 Krishna 知觉当中获得了灵性的品味之后呢，很自然的这个物质的事物对你的吸引力就减弱了。
So we know that we are making spiritual progress by how we become unattracted to the material energy.
所以呢，当我们不慢慢的不被这个物质的能量所吸引的时候，你就知道你的这个 Krishna 知觉在进步了。
And this is something which is measurable. It's something tangible.
这个其实是触手可及的，是可以衡量的。
If we don't practice properly the process of devotional service, we will still be attracted to the material energy, and we won't understand why.
只要我们还没有很好的去修习 Krishna 知觉的话，我们就会被物质的虚幻能量所吸引，然后我们自己还不明白为什么会被这些虚幻所吸引。
So to extract ourselves from the material world, it takes different type of efforts.
所以说，如果说我们想要从这个物质世界里面脱身出来的话，我们就要付出特别的努力。
There are some examples.
可以举些例子。
When a mother cat carries a kitten.
比如说呢，当这个母猫它这个叼着小猫的时候
，How will she carry the kitten?
她带着小猫，这个母猫是怎么带小猫的呢
？With her mouth.
她是用这个口。
And she grabs the kitten by the neck, and the kitten is completely surrendered.
她就是用那个嘴叼着这个小猫，她的宝宝的这个脖子上的那个软软的肉，所以呢，这个小猫呢，就是把自己是完全交给了妈妈了。
So the kitten has nothing to do, just let himself being carried by the mother.
所以这个小猫它这个时候什么都不用做，它只要非常放松的完全接受它的妈妈就好了，就让妈妈这么叼着它就行。
Now, how does the monkey mother carry the baby monkey?
那这个母猴它是怎么带小猴的呢？
The baby monkey holds on very tight to his mother's belly.
这个小猴呢，它会紧紧的抓住这个妈妈肚子，抓住它的肚子。
And the mother doesn't make any effort. It's all on the strength of the baby monkey to hold on to the mother.
然后就是这个小猴就在妈妈的肚子下面是倒过来吊在那里，用这个爪子紧紧地抓住这个妈妈的肚子的，所以这个时候妈妈她是很自在，她不用费力气，但是这个小猴得非常的努力。
So on one hand, the mother does nothing. On the other, the mother does everything.
所以呢，一个妈妈呢就是很轻松自在，什么都不用干；另外一个妈妈呢，她得非常的使劲儿。
So in other words, we can't expect Krishna to make us Krishna conscious, and we have nothing to do.
No efforts. 所以你不能说那个一方面就是让 Krishna 来做一切，然后你自己什么都不用做，轻轻松松。
And we can't also expect that we will do everything and Krishna will not help.
但是你也不能走到另外一个极端，就觉得自己得非常努力，一切都得你自己的努力，而 Krishna 是不参与的。
Krishna in Bhagavad Gita says, according to their surrender unto me.I help them accordingly.
因为呢，在这个《国家梵歌》当中 ，Krishna 呢，他是说到了根据一个人对他的皈依的程度，他会相应的赐予恩泽。
So this is more like the example of the person who falls into the well.
所以呢，这个就好比说一个人掉到了这个井里。
The person who falls into the well is given a rope.
一个人掉到井里了，然后呢，上面的人给他。伸下去一根绳子。
So now we fall into the same scenario as the two mothers.
那现在呢这个情况呢就好比是刚才的这两个妈妈母猫和母猴的这个情况是相似的。
Is the person who throws the rope expected to carry the full weight and pull the person out?
那是不是上面那个丢绳子的那个人他在想他得就一切这个力量得靠他得完全靠他的力量把这个人拉上来呢
Or is he throwing the rope to the person down in the well and the person in the well is supposed to climb up by his own effort?
还是说他只是把这个绳子扔下去就不管了然后呢下面的这个人得自己使劲地拽着绳子靠自己的力量爬上来呢
Actually, the person who throw the rope will pull and the person in the well will climb.
那这个时候呢如果这个人要从井底爬出来的话呢就得双方的努力。一方面呢上面的这个人得使劲往上拽然后另外一方面下面的这个人得紧紧地抓着绳子使劲地往上爬。
So Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, this material energy is my energy.
所以呢这个 Krishna 他在佛家梵歌里面说这个物质的世界的这个能量也是我的能量。
And you cannot cross over that energy unless you surrender to me first.
那除非说你能够完全的皈依于我否则的话你是没有办法跨越这个物质能量的。
So to the level that we approach Krishna,That's how much easier it is to overcome the material energy.
所以呢，至于我们是接近 Krishna 的这种努力的这个程度，所以相应的呢，我们也就能够就是轻松的、轻易的去跨越这个物质的苦海，跨越物质的能量。
And as a matter of fact, if we always meditate how to overcome material energy, it's not going to work.
实际上是这样的如果你呢满脑子只是想着怎么样去克服物质虚幻的能量那你就是跨不过去的。
We have to focus on Krishna consciousness and without even noticing it, we will become purified.
那其实我们就是应当把这个着眼点放在 Krishna 知觉的修习上面在这个时候呢其实你不知不觉的就已经克服了物质的能量。
And as I mentioned in answering Rajendra Prabhu's question, this requires humility.
那我再重申我刚才回答 Rajendra 的这个问题的时候所说的，就是这个是需要谦卑。
It takes humility to approach Krishna.
你要接近 Krishna 呢，首先就要有一种谦卑的心态。
Okay.
Srimukhi Radha mentioned about the source of the information she just mentioned about.
And that is?
在教会的甘露第八节世界中提到了意念的五个阶段如果现在不方便可以下次有机会再请他们回答第一是研究对主某一特定形体的崇拜二将心意专注于一个目标将心意从对其他物体的思考情感和意愿活动中收回第三是专注于主的一个特定的形体称为冥想第四是恒常将心意专注于主的形体称为 Dhruvanusmriti 或完美的冥想第五是重新喜欢专注于某一特定的形体称为 Samadhi 或沉淀、This is from the text 8 of Upadeshamrita in which it's mentioned about five different stages of remembrance.
Yeah.
If it is not convenient, we can approach this question next time. The five different procedures is first is to study one particular form of the Lord and the perform worship. The second point is to be focused on the goals one's mind and to retract the mind from the thinking, feeling and willing activities from other objects. Number 3, be focused on one particular form which means meditation. Number 4, constantly be focused on a particular form of the Lord which means Dhruvanusmriti, perfect meditation, and the fifth stage is enjoys being focused on one particular form, which is samadhi, or yeah, samadhi.
Okay, so is that comes with a question? She's asking.
Well, can you explain more about these five different stages?
Yeah.
If there's no time, we can do it next time.
No. I mean, I can answer briefly.
我可以简单的来回答一下。
Because there's different kinds of absorptions.
因为这样的一种专注或者说一种沉浸是有不同的方式。
And this is mentioned in text 8 of Nectar of Instruction at a stage where the devotee has already achieved a high level of purity.
因为是在教会的甘露第八十节，所以讲到这里的时候呢，有一个前提，就是指的这个奉献者已经达到了一定的净化的阶段了。
In other words, at that point, the devotee has moved on from regulated practice of sadhana bhakti to spontaneous practice of sadhana bhakti.
就是说这个时候奉献者他已经超越了规范修习的这个bhakti方案服务的这个修习了，已经达到了一种自然而然的这种奉献服务的状态了。So
the devotee will become more and more absorbed in remembering.
所以在这个时候呢，因为他已经达到了自发自然的这个服务呢，这个奉献者他就会越来越多的这个就是沉浸到。
And the devotee will go through the different levels of remembrance of Krishna based on their attachment to Krishna.
所以呢，基于这个奉献者对Krishna 的这种依附的这个程度，他就会循序渐进的经历这个五个不同的阶段。
And that's when the devotee is already on the platform of nishta, which is to be fixed.
这样的奉献者他已经在这个 nishta, 也就是专定专注的这个。
So nishta is after one has removed completely all material desires from the heart.
那这个 nishta 呢，这个阶段就意味着这个人他已经奉献者已经把这个物质的欲望从这个心中清除了。
So this goes all the way to when we meditate on a specific form of Krishna.
然后呢，就是进一步就到了，就是我们的心意专注到 Krishna 的某一个特定的形体了。Where
the remembrance of Krishna is not just every now and then, but it's constant.
就是说，在这个时候呢，对 Krishna 这种意念呢，并不是说只是。 就是时有时无的了，而是长期的、延续的、恒长的那种。
And not only that, but the remembrance is also intensified.
而且呢，这样的一种意念、这种记忆呢，它会越来越强烈。So
at that point, the devotee begins to meditate on a specific service.
在这个时候呢，奉献者他就会特定的去冥想某一个服务。By
following specific servants of Krishna in Vrindavan.
去追随在Vrindavan的某一个奉献者去做奉献服务。But
at that stage, the devotee will not serve Krishna directly, still following in the footsteps of the inhabitants of Vrindavan.
但是在这个时候，这个奉献者还没有直接的为 Krishna 做奉献服务，还仅仅是就是追随的在Vrindavan的某一个居民的步伐，去跟随着他去服务。These
five levels of remembering, they go from temporary remembrance to more frequent remembrance, to more intense remembrance, and then full remembrance.
所以说呢，这个五个的这个意念的这个阶段呢，从这种短促的或者暂时的这种记忆呢，到越来越频繁的这种意念，然后再到这种强烈的、非常专注的。 这种意念再到一种完全的意念就是神定了。So
just to make it clear, what you are referring to here is the levels of remembrance that a devotee experiences after there are no more material desires within the heart.
就是说你所说到的这五种的这个意念呢，其实是指的是一个奉献者已经超越了这个物质欲望的这个阶段，就是说他已经进化了，没有物质欲望了，然后这种意念就开始了，就是你说的这个循序渐进的渐进的这个五个阶段。
Okay.
No more questions, I guess. So already been 2 hours. 已经超过了两个小时了。那我们看来就没有问题了。
Okay, so we'll stop here.
我们今天的讲课就到这里。
Thank you very much, Sumukhi Radha Mataji.
Sumukhi Radha Mataji, 非常的感谢你。
Thank you, Krishna Premi, for your translation.
感谢 Krishna Premi 的翻译。
Thank you to all the devotees for your excellent questions.
感谢奉献者提出的精彩问题。
I have noticed that over time devotees are asking good questions because they actually read Prabhupada's books.
我现在就是发现这个奉献者问的问题是越来越好了，是因为大家呢就是越来越多的去看 Prabhupada 的书了。
So this is a very, very good sign of progress.
这个就是证明了你们都在进步，就是一个非常好的迹象。
Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Ki Jai, Srila Sanatan Goswami Ki Jai, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Ki Jai, Kashadesh Yatra Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Gaur Premanande Hari Hari.
来昆塔之音服务源于聆听，亲爱的奉献者们。今天的永恒的且谈两经是且谈的 Charitamrita 的讲课就到这里结束。我们现在讲到的是 Madhya Lila 第21章，就是中篇逍遥的第21章，主须 Krishna 的富裕和甜美。我们下周同一时间再继续讲述。Hare Krishna.